For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. Well, our knowledge about the COVID-19 epidemic is changing, it seems, hour by hour. My guests today are clinical leaders from the University of Kentucky who are going to discuss a new clinical trial to test treatments for patients with COVID-19 in Kentucky. I recently spoke with Dr. Suzanne Arnold, Associate Director for Clinical Translation, and Dr. Zach Porterfield, an assistant professor in the Department of Internal Medicine and Microbiology, Immunology, and Molecular Genetics, about a new clinical trial to test treatments for patients with COVID-19 in Kentucky. Well, I want to thank you both for chatting with me today. I know that you've been heavily involved in looking at some new treatments for the coronavirus pandemic. Can you tell me a little bit about where we are at the University of Kentucky in that and what sort of patients you're going to be looking for?
So I'll start and then I'll let Zach join. So the impetus for this clinical trial came from an alliance of scientists that were brought together by several of the deans of the colleges at the University of Kentucky to focus on all aspects of the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic. And so we are one small aspect of a much larger group looking at many, many different parts of the pandemic, including the epidemiology, the viral aspects of it, clinical care, how we deal with our communities and keeping them safe, and many other aspects. Our focus on this clinical trial is to really look at that highest risk population and to try to impact the health of people that have high risk features like hypertension, diabetes, cancer, obesity, older age, residing in a nursing home, and immunosuppression, and to try and keep those people from having extreme side effects from viral infection with the COVID-19 virus. So we really are trying to act quickly after a person has had a diagnostic test that shows that they have the virus to provide them a treatment option to hopefully slow or reverse the side effects that the virus causes in the higher risk population. This is before they enter into an ICU or become critically ill to try and prevent that.
What sort of agents are you looking at as far as medications or treatment modalities?
The beauty of this trial is that our study design allows us to assess four different regimens in a randomized fashion, sort of like a flip of a coin, where a person is assigned randomly to receive one of four agents or combinations of agents. Several of those are things that the public has probably heard of, including hydroxychloroquine and an arm that looks at hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin together. But we also have some novel agents that haven't been studied as well, which we think have good preclinical evidence for efficacy against the virus. And I'll let Zach give more information about those.
Absolutely. To echo what Suzanne has been saying, the big game changer here would be finding ways to keep people safe and healthy at home, or if they happen to be admitted to the hospital, preventing them from being admitted into the ICU or needing a ventilator. And we feel that this not only improves, you know, the health of the individual who's taking the medication, but also decreases transmission risk and decreases our use of healthcare resources. So sort of it's a win-win across the board if one of these agents happens to have the efficacy that we hope that it does. So in addition to the two arms that Suzanne's mentioned, hydroxychloroquine and hydroxychloroquine plus azithromycin, we have two other more novel agents that we are looking at. One is ivermectin, which is a medication that I'm an infectious disease doctor. We use this relatively frequently to treat things like lice and scabies, but it does seem to have a direct antiviral effect. So this is not an example of repurposing a drug to have a new effect. And this has been shown in cell culture, so in tests using cells, that it has this effect against the virus. And our hope is that we can also treat the virus in patients using this medication. And there'll be a bit of work to try and find the right dosage should this indeed have an effect. But we're excited to include that as one of the novel arms. And then the fourth one is a medication called Camistat. And this is one that's particularly exciting. It has a very direct effect on the virus's ability to enter into cells. So the virus has spikes surrounding the outside of the of it. And in order to enter a cell, these spikes actually have to be processed and clipped in a certain way. And it relies on an enzyme to do that clipping. So Camistat is a medication that inhibits the enzyme that does that clipping. So essentially by stopping the cleavage of this spike protein, we're able to help prevent the virus from entering into cells. And this also has great data in cells. But additionally, this medication has been used for 40 years now in Japan for pain in pancreatitis, in chronic pancreatitis, and in esophagitis or inflammation of the esophagus after surgery. So it's something that we've used in the world for a long period of time, and we have a good sense of its safety profile globally. But it is one of the medications that we think maybe has the most promise in terms of novel things that are being looked at. And we are going to be excited to be one of the very first institutions worldwide to be able to test this medication. There are a few trials that are going on in Germany and Denmark and Israel, but in the United States, I think the University of Kentucky will be the first university that's able to assess this very promising medication. So we're really excited and hopeful that it's something that provides benefit not only to Kentuckians, but worldwide.
And Greg, as you know, this virus really doesn't have a well-established treatment that's been successful. There are many people working on this, even as we speak, across the world. So our focus was really on this population in Kentucky that we have felt would be at highest risk and is pretty well established as a high-risk group by the CDC. And then to be able to move nimbly as things are changing, because Zach will attest to this, the way that things are changing is minute by minute, not hour by hour even. And so in order to respond and be nimble and be able to adapt to new treatments, new ideas, and novel areas, we designed this trial so that we could look at different agents and then assess futility quickly so we would not expose patients to an unnecessary risk or an unnecessary treatment or an ineffective treatment, and to be able to move on to more promising options in almost real time in order to adapt quickly. And I think that's a unique focus of our trial, is to try and get an early look at the success or failure of an agent, and then to move it into a formal trial where we would look at comparing it to the regional standard or the national standard treatment and to see if it's more efficacious.
Suzanne and Zach, one of the wonderful things about being part of this university community is people coming together with different areas of expertise. And Suzanne, you're an oncologist by training. Zach, you're an infectious disease doctor. Can you tell me a little bit about just the synergism of the people coming together for these trials, you know, what they are bringing to bear and how those different knowledge areas contribute to one another?
I think to echo on what Suzanne was just saying, I mean, one of the remarkable things about the current landscape in terms of addressing this pandemic is how quickly things are moving and how, you know, rapidly we're able to bring people together. Especially places like the University of Kentucky, to come up with responses. So at the University of Kentucky, Dean DePaula and College of Medicine and a number of others brought together an alliance of, you know, top researchers and clinicians to discuss what would the research and priorities be at the University of Kentucky. And so this study has been informed by that group of individuals. And so we're, you know, very happy to take the lead in terms of running the clinical trial. But really this benefits from, you know, individuals from all corners of the university, whether it be microbiology, immunology, virologists, infectious disease doctors, clinical trialists out of the Markey Cancer Center, the College of Engineering. Really, we've benefited. I'm sorry, and I should definitely say pharmacy. We've had tremendous input from our pharmacy colleagues in terms of selection of medications and side effect profiles, and developing a trial this nimble in 3 weeks to go from really conception to enrolling patients within 3 weeks is something that's unheard of, and it really is a testament to that collaborative spirit and, you know, drawing on the expertise from across the university.
And I would give credit to the fact that everybody was willing to drop what they were doing and focus on this very, very devastating disease If you think about it, why would a cancer doctor get involved in something like this when we deal with, you know, quite serious and critical issues in our own little sphere? But it's because of the need, because it affects and is so cross-cutting again across all of Kentucky and all of the world, that we really all felt called to do it. I mean, it's really a mission. It's part of the mission that the University of Kentucky always focuses on, which is to be the university for Kentuckians. And it's been a real joy to be a part of it and to see how many people really want to help.
Dr. Suzanne Arnold and Dr. Zach Porterfield, thank you very much for talking with me today.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
It's our sincere pleasure.
My thanks today to Dr. Suzanne Arnold, Associate Director for Clinical Translation and a Clinical Oncologist, and Zach Porterfield, an Infectious Disease Physician in the Department of Internal Medicine here at UK, for talking with me about a new clinical trial to test treatments for patients with COVID-19 in Kentucky. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.